Joining us, Bruce Jenkins of The Chronicle, brought to us by Truett and White, the professional builder's choice, and, of course, Marvin Windows, great sponsors for us. And, Bruce, as we look through the window of baseball, we're looking at the Cooperstown, the Hall of Fame today. You're not going to see anybody standing there.
No, and I've been reading some accounts on how sort of sad and empty it feels there without any active players, involved. I think Bond should be up there at the podium. That's an argument we could for another day, but the fact is he's not, and people have taken their stand. So they're honoring a bunch of guys who died in the 1930s, not played or were active. That's when they passed. I mean. Deacon White, his last year was 1890, so that's the kind of day we're having at Cooperstown.
You could have had Bonds or Clemens and these guys, and next year will be a pretty good class. Don't you think that Maddox and Glavin and those guys will get in?
Yeah, Maddox and Glavin, I think Frank Thomas.
Yep, big hurt.
How about Jeff Kent, Bruce, or Mike Mussina?
I think Jeff Kent, I definitely don't see him as a first ballot guy, but I think he's got a chance eventually, I think. Next year with the three guys we just mentioned, I think are definitely ahead of him in terms of Hall of Fame credentials. But Kent's got a shot.
Mike Mussina on the radar?
He's on the radar. For me, not quite. I mean, I always think back as to how I viewed the players at the time. And Frank Thomas, ultimate example of a guy who was a Hall of Famer at the time, especially those first, 8 or 9 years. I never really thought that about Mussina. Great, great pitcher, great stuff. Out of Stanford, the Giants should have drafted him. They didn't, and they forever regretted it. But I think he's, for me, not quite.
Well, going in the Hall of Fame today, the old umpire, Hank O'Day, those are the days there was one umpire. Can you imagine what went on the field? First of all, they used one baseball and one umpire. Can you imagine what the game looked like?
Oh, my God. I mean, and Deacon White was a catcher. They didn't have gloves. He was a barehanded catcher. Yeah, but Hank O'Day, at a time when there wasn't one more umpire on the bases, the famous incident in September of 1908, this is what Hank O'Day is most remembered for, famous game between the Cubs and the New York Giants at the Polo Grounds. A huge game in the pennant race, and the Giants had apparently won the game on a game-winning single, scoring a guy from third, and a guy named Fred Merkel was on first, and he just turned around and ran for the clubhouse in his exultation. And Johnny Evers of Tinkers to Evers to Chance fame, who was playing second for the Cubs, says, "Wait a minute, he didn't touch second base. He's calling for the baseball." And as I read an account this morning, Joe McGinnity, who was a pitcher for the Giants, grabbed the ball and threw it into the crowd, just so there was no baseball.
Right.
And somehow Johnny Evers came up with another ball. Touched second, and the base umpire did nothing. But Hank O'Day, who was working the plate, called him out. The Giants' victory is wiped out. There's an incredible scene. And the Cubs wound up winning the pennant by one game.
Amazing. Fred Merkel. And, Ron Rodas was on this morning. He says they still go over that play every spring training. Tim Flannery with the runners to make sure they go to second base.
Yeah, all because of Fred Merkel.
Yeah, they do it. And it was an amazing scene in those days. Of course, we're talking 1908.
Yeah.
After the game, as you're right, Iron Joe McGinnity throws the ball in the stands, and it's the only baseball. And then, 10,000 fans come on the field. It was such a big win. And, those are the days the milk truck came on the field with a horse. And because Otis said to me, why didn't they just continue the game? I said, there's no way.
Yeah.
They couldn't clear the
field
of this chaos that was going on.
Yeah.
And it's what makes baseball special, those kind of stories. And Jacob Rupert, the other one going in today, was the owner of the Yankees.
Yeah, I mean, he really was the owner when the Yankees became the Yankees. I mean, he built Yankee Stadium. He and his guys, it opened in 1923, and, he bought Babe Ruth, the most famous transaction in the history of the game, from the Red Sox after the 1919 season. And at that point, Ruth was still a pitcher. I mean, he pitched something like 130 innings that year. He was becoming a hitter. He hit 29 homers and led all of baseball. And at that time, 29 was the most homers ever hit, but it wasn't. It was pretty mind blowing, but it was nothing like his first season at the Yanks. Now playing for Jacob Rupert with the Yanks, he hit 54. The record went from 29 to 54. So I mean, and Jacob Rupert wound up presiding over all the way up to 1939. So we had Gehrig and DiMaggio. They won all those pennants, and it's it seems odd, given that some owners are in the Hall of Fame, that it's taken this long to honor him.
Well, people thought he was in, and all of a sudden they realized he wasn't in, and of course no one who's around to say anything.
Yeah.
So, but as I said this morning, Jacob Rupert had a pretty good weekend. He got Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, Joe DiMaggio. He built Yankee Stadium. Got Miller Huggins, Joe McCarthy, Lefty Gomez, and never did anything wrong. He was just incredible.
Yeah, and just an added touch in the New York Times article, it said that he kept a menagerie of small monkeys and exotic birds at his estate. So he's kind of a wacky guy also.
I think he was a politician as well.
He was a congressman.
Right, that's right. Yeah.
Talk about wacky, right?
How about
New York?
That? How about that? Come on. What about a Jacob Rupert movie? How about that?
Yeah, exactly. This guy was a U.S. congressman in the very early 20th century. That would be a great movie.
Played by Larry Bear. Playing Jacob Rupert, all right.
And Jerry Mathers is the Beaver.
Love it. Hey, Bruce, talking about the Hall, Jay Jaffe of Sports Illustrated kind of posed what current players are on their path to the Hall. And there's some obvious ones, Jeter, Rivera. You could make an argument for Miguel Cabrera at thirds on the way, Triple Crown, and could get a second this year. What are maybe some ones that aren't so obvious? Do you think Joe Mauer goes to the Hall, or do you think Ichiro goes to the Hall?
I think Ichiro goes for sure. He's very distinctive. There's never been anyone quite like him. I mean, he comes over here after many years in Japan and racks up all those insane hit totals, breaks the single-season hit record. I mean, you look at his numbers, you know, to see him now, he's a little bit of the twilight. But absolutely, Ichiro goes in. You know, I think some of the younger guys, I think, you know, Mike Trout and Bryce Harper definitely have that look,
yeah.
You know.
Of Machado. Hall of Famers. How about Machado?
Yeah, Machado as well. I mean, it's a really great era for young players. I think those three guys stand out the most. But it's going to be interesting to see how it goes.
Yeah, Mariano Rivera.
He's a no-brainer, obviously. How about Doc Holliday? Does Roy Halladay get a shot at going in? Or
he might have a shot. Yeah, I think Buster Posey's a guy that's on a path, especially because he's a catcher.
Yeah, good point. Boy, thinking about Ichiro, just to finish that off, he's going to get 4,000 hits when you combine his U.S. hits and his Japan hits.
I mean, just ridiculous. Just a good classic guy, and you know, really, really quite unique. And he belongs in both halls, whatever they have in Japan. I'm sure he's already honored over there.
Really? Well, all right. Let's see. Giants trade deadline buzz names. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I don't know. Every night the stake gets driven in a little farther into the coffin. I mean, last night was just appalling. It really was. And it's reached the point where here they have the bases loaded in the eighth inning with Sandoval, Posey, and Pence coming up. And I didn't think they were going to score.
Really?
I really didn't.
Really?
That's how bad they're going. I mean, I didn't expect two pitiful bleeders and a strikeout. But I just – and again in the eighth inning, it's reached the point where I'm just not expecting, and you know, I haven't lost any respect for these guys as players. They're all, Lord knows what they've done. But this is what happens in baseball when you're going this badly. I didn't expect them to do anything, and they didn't. It's just weird. Now it can turn in an instant. Whether it turns to into a 15 game winning streak, I don't know about that. But you know, as far as the trading deadline goes, I think as the days pass, Sabian is more and more willing to let go of this team that won him a world championship, you know, certain components. We talked about Hunter Pence yesterday. I think it's a real risky move to trade him. His lack of production has been obviously quite glaring and in some respects should be traded, but just, you know, their lack of depth in the outfield. What, are you going to put Gary Brown and Kieschnick out there?
I mean, it's true.
You know, I mean,
give me the alternative and then I'll tell you.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's hard for me to imagine Pence getting dealt and also Lincecum.
Yeah.
So what's it going to be? Javier Lopez for prospects maybe. But, I mean, you just always have to think about opening day next year. If you're going to give up on this season, and it's getting more and more to that point, although it's not the absolute, but, you know, you have to who's your team next year? This is a winning ball club, a highly successful franchise with sellout crowds, and you just can't come back with a half-baked lineup.
No, I'm with you. We've said it.
You're not winning with Pence this year, and he needs some help. Barty knows I got a spur for Pence.
Yes, he does.
And I just don't know if Pence really if he helps attendance. He's not an attendance guy. And boy, well, just last night, that was the nail in the coffin for me.
Well, he's beloved. I mean, they're going to draw no matter what. I mean, it's not, Pence doesn't have any bearing on that. He's very well beloved by the fans. But let's put it this way. I mean, he's a free agent, and, you know, once he hits the market, he's gone. If you give me an outfielder, then we'll talk. I mean, a real outfielder, not a guy in Double A.
Yeah, that's what I've been saying. Hey, the club and a lot of front office people go to the White House tomorrow and see the president. Have you been to the White House?
I never have, and you know what's even crazier? I've never even been in D.C.
Wow.
I got close year after year in Baltimore covering the A's, and, you know, sometimes the guys would go over there, and I'd always... Something always came up, you know, and my daughter's been there. She went there with her eighth grade class.
Right. I know that trip.
I haven't been.
I know
there.
That trip.
It's a great town. I lived in Maryland, in Montgomery County, in Gaithersburg, in Washington. It's a phenomenal city. Yeah,
I was there when I was 8 years old.
Uh-huh.
And I guess I hate to tell you, but that's what it was.
Yeah,
it was crazy. But
I'm not expecting an invitation to the White House, but I just like to roam around the city for 4 or 5 days. That would be a dream for me.
Well, I want to know. I asked Wotusis and Dwayne Kuiper, do they have snacks? Do they have a bowl of cashews, M&Ms when you come in? Is it like going into someone's house, or you're on your own?
I think Ding Dongs is what they have.
Wow.
Very good. Hey, have a great afternoon, and I look forward to talking to you next week.
Guys,
thanks, Bruce.
All right.
Ding Dongs. He's right.
He's great.
You know what I'm saying?
He's the best.